Job chapter number 5. Right before the book of Psalms is Job. If you were here last adult Bible study, we were going through choosing to be happy, deciding to be happy, and rejoicing in God. And to be honest with you, it's a commandment to be happy. Because a lot of times, you know, people don't feel like they're happy or don't feel anything is worthy enough for them to be happy about. And sometimes, you know, we're down in the dumps a lot. Some things happen in life and untoward circumstances of life. And somebody, you know, does something, says something and throws us off and riles us up. But the truth of the matter is, it's a command, as you'll read from the Bible here, it's a commandment for us to be happy. It is a commandment for us to be happy. And look what it says here in Hebrews chapter number 12. I'm sorry, Job chapter number 5. We're going to go there afterwards. Job chapter number 5 and verse number 17. Behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth. That's what it says. I said this, I think, a week or so ago. I don't remember in what Bible study or sermon, but I said, do you ever see that the children that are disciplined the most are the happiest children? Did you ever notice that? I mean, if you look at children, say, between the age of 5 and 10, and you see them happy most of the times, sitting still and happy and smiling, you know what that means? Parents are doing a pretty good job of disciplining them. If you see a child that's out of control from 5 to 10, they're usually angry. They're usually not disciplined. They have no self-control. They're running around. You know what that means? There's a good indication a parent's not disciplining that child. And it's that God's very true. It's very true in the Bible. Happy is the man whom God correcteth. Now, this is talking about you and I. We're going to get to Hebrews in a little bit about children being likened to us, children of God. But it says, therefore, because of that, despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty. So when God corrects us, we shouldn't be upset. We should be grateful that God corrects us like a father who cares about his children. So we ought to be, the end result is a peaceable fruit of righteousness that'll make us happy if we know it's best, as long as we know it's for our good. Do you love God this morning? Well, Romans 8:28 says, all things work together for good to them that love God. All things. So let's say something bad happens to you. You know, financial setback, a health setback. Maybe a loved one has passed away. Maybe you lost your job. Think about all the worst things that could happen to you. Well, as long as you love God, it'll work out for good. Because God loves you, he loves me, and he wants what's best for us. And sometimes he takes things away from us. Have you ever taken anything away from your children? I was reading a story where some mother said a son or a daughter, I can't remember right now, for Christmas. He said, Santa said that you're not getting anything because you haven't been good this year. You've been talking back to me, you've been fighting with each other, and you're not getting anything. They thought it was a joke, and the mother really didn't give the kids anything. Now, she shouldn't lie to them about Santa, but you know what? How many times you as a parent have taken something away from your child because your child's not acting right, not being right, not grateful? And by the way, there's nothing wrong with that because God does the exact same thing. And by the way, not just because he's mad at us or angry with us, but because it's for our own good. You know, Americans are too spoiled. We have been given too much. And we have put our eyes on the blessing instead of the blesser. We've put our eyes on the gift instead of the giver. Thank God for salvation. But you ought to thank God, who's the giver of salvation, amen? And thank God for life. But you ought to thank God who gave us life, amen? And we're just spoiled. Most people don't even think about it when they breathe. I want you to know that God gives you every single breath you take. And, you know, it's a wonderful thing to breathe. Did you ever think about it? When you're in a hospital on a machine, you'll think about it then. If you visited people who've been on a breathing machine and they're kept alive just by a machine that's pumping them oxygen, and that pump is going, pumping their heart or pumping oxygen into their lungs, every breath that we take, we all thank God for it, man. Happy is the man whom God correcteth. That's what it says. Now, that's as long as you love God, Romans 8:28. You and I have seen people that are bitter. You and I know people that are bitter, angry, upset. You know why? They don't love God. I was talking with somebody yesterday, just angry and bitter. What's going on in the world? And I said, well, have you ever had toast? Yeah. I said, have you ever burnt toast? He goes, yeah. I said, did you stop eating toast? He goes, no. Well, I said, people are going to burn you. Church is going to burn you. But you're not going to stop going to church or meeting people because somebody burned you. I mean, didn't you ever buy something at Price Chopper or Hannaford that wasn't right? You didn't stop shopping there. I mean, you were either at a grocery store or some other store and somebody said something or somebody did something or you got a bad product. You just stop shopping there. But I'm telling you, the devil plays on our minds, and listen to me good, somebody who represents God or a church that represents God, somebody said or did something that hurt you, you're going to say, I can't go back there. No. The reason is you don't love God. If you love God, you look past people's sins. If you love God, you look past people's faults. I want to remind everybody, this church, like every other church on planet Earth, is made up of sinners. And we forget that. We forget it. And the thing is, we shouldn't play God. You let God play God. You let God be God. Because God knows everybody's address, and God knows how to get a hold of everybody. And the Bible says, happy is the man whom God correcteth. If you see somebody's going through a trying time, your job is to be a friend to them. Your job is to love them. Your job is to go to them and say, is there anything I can do to help? To be a friend to somebody. Not to step on them when they're down. Not to pour salt on the wound. Your job is to be their friend and love them. Even when God's correcting them. Hebrews chapter 12, please. Hebrews chapter number 12. We started last week of being happy and joyful. Hebrews chapter 12. And Hebrews, we're going to read here, quotes Job chapter number 5 that we just read. Hebrews chapter number 12. Sort of quotes it. Job chapter number 12, starting in verse number 5. Ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, this is out Proverbs now. We're going to get to Proverbs in a little bit. Despise not thou the chastening of the Lord. Nor faint, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you love God, right? Remember Romans 8:28. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? Either not his or a spoiled, rotten brat. That's the answer. Look at the next verse, 8. But if you be without chastisement, by the way, chastisement is like a whipping, a scourging. That's going out the window today. You know what? Parents are more afraid of DSS and Child Protective than they are afraid of God. They're afraid of their children going and telling their teachers and a nurse at school, my dad abused me, my mom abused me, and they're going to call, you know, Child Protective, and they'll have you. Let me tell you something. If Child Protective was around 55 years ago, my mom would be in prison for the rest of her entire life, man. I'm telling you, my parents would be arrested. They'd be hauled into jail. They'd lose their house or lose their job. But back then, people had a little sense that, you know what, when your kid act up, you give them a good whipping. I mean, that was normal 50 years ago. I said, what's wrong with our society today, Pastor? Look at the kids and the parents aren't whipping them. Now, I'm not saying you ought to beat them to a pulp. I'm just saying that when the right time comes and they deserve it, they need it. Verse 8, but if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Now, people think bastard is a bad word. It's not a bad word. The word bastard means a person doesn't know who their father is. Every person has a father. You know, some people think a bastard is somebody with no father. No, you have a father somewhere. Dead or alive, he's alive. Alive or dead, he's somewhere. But a bastard is someone who doesn't know who their father is. That sounds like unsaved people walking around planet Earth, man. They don't know. They don't know if God's their father. This would be good. You know what Jesus said? Or your father, the devil. Someone is your father. Now, you may have a physical father, like we all do, but who's your spiritual father? Is it God, the Father? Or is it Satan himself? Well, the children of disobedience follow the father, their father, the devil, into things of the world. I mean, I was a child of the devil for 21 years. I didn't realize it. You know, you look at babies and, oh, they're so cute, you know. You know, some they're terrors sometimes, amen. Look what it says. Verse number 9. Therefore, we have had fathers of our flesh, which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they, our fleshly fathers, for they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. But he, for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening. This is scourge. A chastening is a whipping or scourging, okay? A good spanking, a good thrashing, okay? Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous. I mean, when you're getting whipped, man. When my dad used to whip me, I still remember my mom coming off that porch, man. I remember we were driving her crazy sometimes, and she'd go out in the porch. We had an old rickety back porch, and she'd lean over that side railing there. That porch couldn't have been more than 3 by 5, maybe, as tops, you know. Had a little roof over it, and there's I don't know if it was a willow tree or not, but it looked like a willow tree to me growing up, and it would hang down with long, you know, branches, whatever it was. And she'd lean over that rickety tree, and I could hear the snap of the branch go like that. And whatever was on there, she'd take her forefinger and her thumb, and she'd put that thing right through it, and she'd go like this. And all those little things would just fly off like that, you know? And then she'd come looking for us, man. And she'd come whipping our rear ends and our thighs in the back, man, and we'd be screaming and hollering. That's why I'm a pastor today, though. That's why I'm still alive today. That teaches responsibility. That teaches you to mind your elders. That teaches you to respect authority. That teaches you to love God. Now, I didn't enjoy it when she was thrashing me with that rod or whatever you call it, that switch. But you know what? It's for my good. She did it because she wanted peace and quiet, you know. She did it because we were, you know, making her go crazy. You know what I'm talking about. But you know what? I needed it. I remember one time we got off the bus. We lived in a pretty bad neighborhood. We got bused to an all-white Jewish neighborhood. And this is back in the 60s now, obviously. And I remember I used to, with my friends, you know, we'd get off the bus and we'd push the bells and start running, you know. You know how kids are. You're 8, 10, 12 years old, having fun, just ringing the bells and run. I forgot that my sister was with me, and she told my mom I did that. I can tell you this much, that's the last time I did that. Because my sister told my mom, you know, Mom, there's an old lady about 80, 85 years old. She's on the second floor. She's got to come down, and Johnny's pushing those buttons, making her come down. Look, my friends were doing it. We were laughing, having a great time until my mom found out. I never push anybody's button needlessly ever again. Never. I remember one time I came home from school. And look, I was the class clown, to be honest with you. I cut up, man, and I enjoyed school and class, not because of the lessons. I enjoyed just cutting up and being the class clown, to be honest with you. And I drove the typing teacher crazy, or the history teacher. I think she taught both typing and history. I can't remember right now. But I drove her crazy. I forgot that she was a customer of my mom who was a seamstress. I came in the door, you know, when you come home, when I left home or where I came home, I used to kiss your mom goodbye, hello. As soon as I opened the door, you know, I didn't have a key for my house. My mom was always home, amen. I knocked on the door. My mom opened the door. I'm waiting for a kiss. And the first thing that she did, she takes her hand. She smacks me as hard across the face as she can. I said, she called, didn't she? Yeah. I think my head hit every single wall in that house. I never made fun of the teacher and gave her a hard time ever again. You know what's sad? It's sad that the children are running the parents. I remember my grandfather coming through the apartment when all the cousins got together, sleeping on the floor, talking, you know, staying up late, and he wanted to go to bed. You know, it's, you know, back then, you have a small apartment, and you have, like, about five or eight cousins laying on the floor talking, you know, on the blankets, and the next room, you know, these walls are paper thin, you know. It's not like today, everything's big, thick, insulated, whatever it is. And, you know, he couldn't get to sleep. He came in there with a pantofla, with a slipper, man. Just, he didn't care who he was hitting, man. He didn't care how he was swinging, amen. Those days are gone today, man. I can't tell you what I did. I can't remember what I said. I don't remember the infraction, but I can tell you this much. I remember being at the mall in the Valley Forge Mall. It was one of the first malls in the country at that time, if not the first. I don't remember Valley Forge. And I'll tell you what, my dad left my mom and my brother and my sister to go shopping. He took me out. I said, where are we going, Dad? He said, oh, we're going for a walk. Right in the middle of the bushes, man, he took his belt off and whipped my rear end. I can't remember what I did. I can't remember what I said. But thank God for every single whipping I got, man. Thank God for every single time my dad or my mom disciplined me and chastened me when I needed it. Verse 11. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. I mean, you remember what it's like if you ever got disciplined correctly. I'm not saying you ought to punch your kids and kick. I'm not saying that. God gave you a good Southern hemisphere with a lot of cushion that has a direct line from the rear end to the brain that says, ouch, that hurts. I better not do that again. I better not say that again. You're not supposed to go around punching your kids or kicking your kids or mistreating them. I'm being honest with you. I never punched my kids. Never kicked my kids. No chastening for the present seemeth to be joy, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. That's what, I mean, you believe God or not? You believe a social worker or God? You believe the Department of Social Services or God? A judge or God? I'm just telling you. And I'm telling you, they are persecuting people who believe in this stuff. Out of child abuse, you know, we don't want to abuse the children. Don't you think it's child abuse when the kids are smoking and when they're 8 or 10 years old and getting on crack and cocaine and doing drugs? Don't you think that's child abuse? Because they haven't been disciplined and don't have self-control? Don't you think that's don't you think the high rate of suicide among teens and young adults, don't you think that's abuse? Huh? Don't you think the high death rate among children, especially in inner cities, with guns and knives, because they have no self-control, because they're high? Don't you think that's child abuse either? I'm not saying everything was so great 100 years ago, but we didn't have the suicide rate we have today. And we didn't have the crime that we have today. We didn't have the drugs the way it is today. You know what's missing today? Self-discipline, self-control. That's what's missing. And so when God does that, that's what we're going through. When God does that, you ought to rejoice. Say, God, thank you, Lord, for loving me enough to care about me, to teach me some lessons that I need to learn. Psalm 94, please. I'm sorry, let's go to James since we're nearby. James, the next book after Hebrews, James, chapter number 1. And sometimes it's a trying time. You know, you lose a loved one. Let me tell you something. I think I mentioned this a week or two ago. I don't know, sure, Sunday night or Wednesday night or last week's sermon or 2 weeks ago. I think the one thing that God used more in my life to wake me up was when my mom passed away. I mean, I love my mom. There was a love between my mom and I that I personally have never seen in any other individual, to be honest with you. You have no idea how much I love my mother and how much she loved me. The day she died, I'll tell you what, God took away my complacency. God took away my cockiness. God took away things that I thought I was, you know, so sure of. God gave me a soberness that I'm telling you right now, only the death of my mother probably would have done it. If you had asked me about it, I would have said, no, don't do that, don't do that, don't do that. But you know, sometimes God knows what's best for us than we do ourselves. So that job you lost may be good for you that you lost it. That health scare that you got may be good for you, what the doctor told you. The financial setback, your husband deserting you, your wife cheating on you, your children rebelling and never wanting to talk to you again. And you know what? God knows what we need. God knows exactly what we need. If you love him, it'll work out for good. You and I cannot control all circumstances around us or even in our lives. It's impossible. We're not God. You can't control other people or events, but you can control whether you love God or not. So when the correcting hand of God comes, you can say, Lord, thank you, I love you. Not get upset and angry and bitter at God and take it out on other people. I'm not saying it's not going to hurt. It's going to hurt. Look at James chapter number 1, verse number 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Them that love him. Do you love God this morning? That's the key. Anybody can say, I love so-and-so, but do you love Jesus this morning? Proverbs chapter number 3, please. Proverbs chapter number 3. Proverbs chapter number And what's sad, you know, the devil knows how to do this because he takes one bad example of somebody who didn't discipline their kids right, you know, and kills them maybe, puts it on national television. And so 20 million other parents now are afraid to even touch their child because some idiot killed this child, a mom or a dad. I mean, you've read those stories. But just because some idiot doesn't know how to control their anger and takes it out on their children doesn't mean that you should not obey the word of God. You should always obey the word of God, ladies and gentlemen. And you ought to use wisdom. Proverbs chapter number 3, verse number 11. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. I never beat my children, ever, unless I told them first the rules. If they disobeyed, if I knew they disobeyed, it's not an accident. You know, I can live with accidents. I can live with spilled milk. I can live with broken glass. But the Word of God teaches that every act of disobedience must be dealt with because it's purposeful. When you disobey and you know what the law is, you know what the rules are, that's when judgment needs to be meted out. I remember one time I got one of my children, I never hit my children out of anger, ever. I sat down with them. I used to sit on the bed. They used to stand in front of me, and I'd go through what they said or what they did, why they're getting it. You know that it was wrong, right? You know what you did was wrong. And you know this was the rule, and you know you broke it, and you knew that. And we went through that conversation every single time. I'm guessing 95, 98% of the time, we went through that conversation just like that before I ever gave him a whipping, ever. Then I had him lay down. And one time, one of my kids was standing there, you can imagine, they're nervous, they're trembling, they're crying. And here's what she said. She said, "But Dad, you never told me I couldn't do that. I didn't know." And I'm looking at her. I'm trying to think, did I ever say that to her? Did I ever tell her? And I don't know how long it lasted, 20 seconds, 30 seconds. I'm thinking to myself, I'm thinking back in my memory, have I ever told her that? Well, I can't even remember what the infraction was right now. But I remember after about 30, 40 seconds, I said, get out of here. Because it wouldn't be right for me to discipline her for something that she, whether she knew it or not, it doesn't matter. I had the burden to make sure that I was the one that informed her what the rules were. And if I wasn't comfortable that I told her, then I'd let her go. And that's what I did. I said, get out of here. Don't do it again or whatever I told her. See, a lot of time people hit other people, children especially, only because they're angry. Their football team lost. Their boss said something to them at work. Something happened during the day. They come out and take it off on their wife. They kick the dogs, you know. I mean, I went to work one day, and I walked in. You know, I try to have a good attitude wherever I go, and I walked in. There's about four of us in the office. One, two, three, there's four of us in our office. And I walked in, and I said, good morning. And somebody turned around and said, what's so good about it? I said, oof, this is not going to be a good day. I can't control people, but I can control myself. I can't control other people's emotions, but I can control mine. You can't control what other people say, but you can control your mouth and your lips. As tempting as it might be, you want to say something back. The best thing, probably most of the times, is to close your mouth. Unless God's given you a position of authority, then say it. But if not, sometimes, most times, the best thing is to close your mouth. It's not worth it. Let it go. If my children ever talk back to me, it's World War III, ladies and gentlemen. If they ever sass me back, and by the way, it never happened while they were living in my house. When they were younger, never happened. I'm just saying, I told my children, my wife, I told the church, I said, there's the door. There's it right there. You can pack your bags all you want, send a postcard, call me, visit whenever you want. But while you're living under my roof, these are my rules. By the way, Now, this is just a building, but the house of God is God's house. These are God's rules. Do you know how many churches are disobeying God's rules and saying, you know what? I don't care what God says. We're going to do whatever we want. Oh, really? You don't think God's chastisement is coming your way? You don't think God's discipline is coming your way? You don't think God's rebuke is coming your way? It's like spitting in your authority's face, spitting in God's face. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Bottom line is, don't be a rebel against God. Don't be a rebel against your parents. Don't be a rebel against your husband. Don't be a rebel against authority. Even if they're wrong, you don't have to be a rebel. You can try talking to them or reasoning with them. Sometimes they won't listen to you. I understand. Yeah. It's like the little boy said, you know what? I am not going to have anybody else tell me what to do. I'm not going to have my parents ever tell me what to do. I'm leaving. I'm joining the Marine Corps. Oh, okay. You don't want anybody telling you what to do? You go ahead and join the Marine Corps. You go ahead and sleep in the same room with about 40 or 50 or 60 other Marines, recruits. Huh? And have some drill instructor come in at 4 o'clock in the morning, turn the lights on, throw the trash can down, and say, get up out of your bed. Fix your bed. It's time to shower. It's time to eat. But you don't want your dad or mom telling you what to do, right? Huh? You know, America's become a bunch of rebels, man. Too proud. Too stubborn. You need to take a trip to a third world country on a mission trip to see how people live in third world countries, man. The food, we throw out more food in one day than they eat in one day. And yet we're the ones that complain. We're the ones that murmur. We're the ones that are ungrateful. Psalm 94, please. Psalm 94. I'm talking about being happy today. That's what it says. Be happy. Rejoice. It's a commandment to rejoice. It's a sin not to rejoice, just like any other sin in the Bible is, gentlemen. Psalm 94, verse number 12. Blessed is the man whom thou chastenest, O Lord, and teachest him out of thy law. You know, when God disciplines us, we're blessed. If you do it right as a parent, your children will be blessed when you discipline your child. You wait till they're like 8 or 10 or 12 years old, man. Most times it's about too late. Most times it's about too late. There'll be a jail cell that will control them. There'll be bars and a warden who'll tell them what time to get up, what time to eat, what time to shower, what time to play. That's what they do with caged animals. 1 Peter chapter number 4, please. 1 Peter chapter number 4. Now, that's when we disobey God, disobey the word of God. God's going to rebuke us, chasten us, discipline us, because he loves us, the Bible says. We just read all those verses. 1 Peter chapter number 4. Verse number 14. Now we go a step further, not just for our sins. 1 Peter 4, verse number 14. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, what's it say? Are you? If somebody laughs at you, mocks you, criticizes you because of the Lord Jesus Christ, are you happy about that? God says you ought to be happy. Because you know what? That means you're doing right. Now I'm not saying you ought to you know, a lot of people have this persecution complex. You know, they purposely go around bothering people so people can say or do something to them, and they walk around, oh, I was persecuted. Now, you're not being persecuted unless they throw you in jail for preaching or witnessing or something like that. This is what it says, verse 14. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer or as a busybody in other men's matters. Hey, keep your nose in your own business. You have no business sticking your nose in somebody else's business. Absolutely none. Yet, verse 16, if any man suffers a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. So if someone's criticizing you because you love God too much, love the Word of God too much, love church too much, love God's people too much, man, that's a good indication that you're loving God. You ought to be thrilled about that. You ought to be excited. I mean, they did crucify Jesus for it. They did behead John the Baptist for it. Nero did cut the Apostle Paul's head off because of it. What makes you think it's not going to happen to somebody who loves Jesus? Chapter number three. 1 Peter chapter number 3. Oh, verse number 8. We'll start there. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful. Be courteous. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing. Knowing that ye are therefore thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life. Do you love life? Do you enjoy living? And see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil, that means spit it out, and do good. Let him speak peace, let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? Now watch this. But and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. That's what it says. And be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you, as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Can you imagine? I mean, I've said this before. You ought to read Fox's Book of Martyrs and these preachers of old, 1,500 years ago, 1,000 years ago, 1,800 years, while they were being burned alive at the stake, they were singing and praising God. While they were getting arrested for preaching, they didn't say, I'm going to see you in court, I'm going to sue you, I'm going to go after everything you got. They were just glorifying God because they were right with God. John chapter 13, we'll close with this. John 13, please. Are you happy? Are you? Do you love Jesus this morning? Can you rejoice? Even in tough times, God's people ought to be a joyful people, ladies and gentlemen. They have heard the joyful noise, the joyful sound. John chapter 13. Verse 17. If you know these things, Happy are ye if you do them. There's two conditions here in this verse. First of all, you have to know them. Do you know what the Word of God is? Do you know what it says? Do you read it? The second condition is doing them, obeying them. Now, that's the difficult part because, you know, we don't want people to laugh at us or mock us. Oh, you're a religious goody two-shoes. You know, you're, oh, now you're one of those holy rollers, or, oh, you go to church now, you're a church person. I'm just telling what Jesus said. Jesus said, if you know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. That's why some people even come to church are miserable. They may know them, but their conscience bothers them. They're not surrendered to God. They haven't humbled themselves before a holy God and said, God, whatever you want is fine with me in my life. You stop trying to play God and let God be God in your life. And say, God, if you don't want me to have it, then you take it away. If you want me to have it, then you give it to me. It's up to you. Whatever thy will is, dear God. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them. That's what Jesus said. Are you happy this morning? Whether it's raining or snowing, whether it's 95 degrees out or 30 below, are you happy today if a tornado or hurricane came through? Are you happy today if you lost your house, if you lost your job, you lost your health, and lost your family? Are you happy today? I'll tell you what, thank God for salvation. Thank God that Jesus came and died in my place on that cross and took my sins to pay for my sins so I wouldn't have to go to hell to pay for them. Thank God, thank God, thank God for salvation. Let's all stand, shall we?